has a face, doesn't it? It's not just a word, but it's a person. The Lord Jesus Christ. We welcome you to our Christmas Sunday, and we've done things a little bit different this year. Just started right out with the young people, and again, we appreciate them, all those that work with them, and we appreciate you coming and watching and listening. You know, the kids, they have a different take on things than we do. They enjoy what we're tired of. You know, I don't know what it is. As we get so old, we get tired of everything. But the kids, they still enjoy. And there's a lot of truth, more than just to salvation, when Jesus said that you ought to come as a little child. I think we need a little attitude maybe of a little child more than just trusting Christ as Savior, don't you think? I believe we get along a lot better. All right, everybody all right this morning? Turn to Luke chapter 2. We'll give you a couple of thoughts this morning. Now downstairs, Brother Boyd is talking with the kids downstairs. Glad he's home. They're going to preach to the kids for a little bit downstairs. And they have, they're going to feed them. And they got gifts for them. And so we're not just rushing out. This is Christmas Sunday. Every day, we ought to be thankful for our Savior every day. But let's make sure we take today and make sure we give Him honor today. This is the Lord's day anyhow, but let's make sure we give Him great honor in all that He does. You think about that, and all that He's did, all that He's doing right now. All right, let's pray together, can we? Father, we come this morning, and Lord, there's no way we can thank you enough for all that you do and all that you give. Lord, this is a given time, and you set the example when you give the best you had. And we sure do thank you for giving us Jesus. Lord, that's why we celebrate today. We celebrate Christmas this week. We have in the last several weeks celebrated Christmas and thanking you for your darling son that you give, that we might be with you. And Lord, I pray this morning that you might speak to every heart. I'm trusting you've already spoken to hearts through the children. And Lord, through the Holy Spirit using them, now Lord, please, may the scripture speak to our heart this morning. May we thank you and praise you for it all. Cleanse me that there be nothing wrong or a hindrance in any way in my mind or heart. And Lord, touch me fresh of the Holy Spirit that I might be able to speak to everyone this morning. And we're going to thank you and praise you in Jesus' name and amen. Now we know we've read it already. They've quoted it and read it, and we've read it for weeks. But let's look in Luke chapter 2, and we want to read again what is considered the Christmas story. We're not going to read from verse 1. We'll start at verse 8. And we want to give you just a simple thought today. Is everybody okay? Luke chapter 2, start at verse 8. It says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Let's go back to verse 10 and 11 just for a moment. It says, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Can I tell you that knowing that God give us Jesus ought to bring everybody great joy to know that God has give us Jesus Christ? I mean, I don't know of any greater news than you can have than to know that God give us a Savior. You think about that. And it says, "which shall be to all people." He didn't come for, I like the clarity that they made here this morning. that is not just for a select few or not for a certain class or not just for a certain people, but it's for anybody and everybody. And I'm glad that's the way it is when it comes to the Lord. But what we want to call your attention to this morning is verse 11. It says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David," it says, "a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." A Savior, which is Christ the Lord. I wonder this morning, do you know this Jesus that we have Christmas about? Do you know who this Jesus is? Do you really know this Jesus? Now, the world will speak of Jesus, but they try not to speak much of him. They speak a lot about God. And then we go into Christmas greetings and Christmas holidays and holiday season. They try to get Jesus out of the picture. Can I tell you that if we're not careful, we'll get Jesus plumb out of the picture in our life. And we'll get involved in everything else instead of Jesus Christ. And we forget that he's the main thing. He's not a thing. He is the thing. He's the main thing. He's all in all. And I'm afraid that we forget that so quickly. We're busy. Have you ever been busier than you are right now? Think about that. Have you ever been busier than you are? Have you ever seen time pass any faster than it's passing right now? Have you ever been involved in more things than you're involved in right now? And I wonder how many of them matter. Now, they matter to stay here in this life, in this world, but I wonder how many of it matters when it comes to the Lord Jesus. So I'm wondering sometimes if we really know this Jesus. Now, this Jesus that was born, that ain't when he started. That's just when he put on a robe of flesh. He is God. Now, I want you to understand that he is God. I had an opportunity to talk with a lady Thursday, I believe it was Thursday, and trying to, she was of another belief, and she was trying to tell me that Jesus wasn't God, and I was giving her scripture that Jesus is God. He is the Savior. He is, and she didn't want to accept that. She said, "I know what you believe, but I used to believe that." I said, "No, ma'am. You've never believed it if you don't believe it now. And don't work that way." And I'm wondering, does people really know this Jesus? Do you really know the Jesus of the Bible? Or do you have some Jesus in your mind that's who you worship, that's who you serve? See, the Jesus of the Bible demands some things. He demands you. He demands your life. He said, "Come follow me." And when we come to him, it ain't take it or leave it. It ain't part of him someday, part of him another day. It's all or nothing. But we ain't the way we live. It ain't the way we believe it. See, we believe that we can just have Jesus and get out of hell and live like hell until we don't go to hell. But that ain't the way it is. You know, he's a person. He is a life. He is a life. He is the life. But I'm afraid that Jesus is not our life. Because I don't know that everyone knows who Jesus really is. I'm afraid we're missing some things. When we think of Jesus this morning, Christmas is about Jesus, is it not? Now, I'm with everybody else. Now, we've had two Christmases. And ain't even Christmas done had two. That don't even make sense, all right? Only in America can I have two Christmases and not even be Christmas yet. All right, and I'm planning on having more this week. I don't know how many more there'll be, but there'll be more than one, I'm sure. And we got Christmas today, right? We got Christmas today. And we all are about presents and gifts and trees and all that's fine. I'm not knocking none of that. I'm right there with you, all right? I'm right there with you. And for 20 years, I've played Santa Claus. I mean, I've done it all. Christmas caroling, played Santa Claus, done the presents, done the trees, done the whole thing. But that's not Christmas. Jesus is Christmas. Yeah. But he's not just Christmas. See, we've got him down to one day a week, one morning a week. All right? We've got Jesus down to one morning a week, one day a year.
Come on. Yeah.
We've about run him plumb out of everything. You know? When we got him down to one day a year that we celebrate him, and one day a week we'll worship him. But it just can be of a morning. We don't have time of a night. Are you listening to me? We've done run him out of everything. See, we've almost come to what the world says Xmas. We've almost done it. And I'm talking about the church house. I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about the church house. I'm talking about preachers and deacons and Sunday school teachers and preachers' wives and deacons' wives and Sunday school teachers' helpers and the kids. I believe we've about run him plumb out of everything. And pretty soon we're going to see the result of it when we have the Christless society that we're running to now. Are you hearing me today? See, I'm wondering if we really know this Jesus. See, he is a person. He's not a story. He is a person. He's not a holiday. He is a person. He's not just some tall tale. He's a person. Grace has a face. Trista just sung it. Hope has hands. Freedom has feet. Grace has a face. Man, he's real this morning. But I'm afraid that we've about run him plumb out of everything. See, where is he at in your life? Where is Jesus in priority in your life? Oh, I read my Bible. I didn't ask you about reading your Bible. Didn't ask you about, I pray. So, I've seen people roll out a flying carpet and pray facing Mecca. Huh? Praying don't mean nothing. Are you listening to me? Is everybody hearing me this morning? I'm asking, where is Jesus in your life? Where is the person, Jesus Christ, in your life when it comes to priority? Is he in your thoughts? Is he in your plans? Do you plan your life around Christ? Or do you fit him in your life that you've done planned? See, I'm not sure that we know this Jesus of the Bible. We'll get there in just a moment. I'm just not sure we know this Jesus of the Bible. We know the name. We know what we make him. But do we know the Jesus of this Bible? See, when I think about Jesus and Christmas, see when I think about what he's about. Now, we're about giving, and I'm grateful for that. We got presents for the kids downstairs. They're going to feed them. I don't know what they're feeding them today. They feed them all the time, so I don't know what it is today, but they'll feed them. They got goodie baskets and everything. There'll be baked goods and fruit and all this. That's all wonderful, and I love it, and I wish we could do more. I wish we could give them more and more and more. All right? But that ain't Christmas. Right, right, right. Jesus is Christmas. Amen. See, the greatest thing you can give your family for Christmas is the Christmas story. No, that's what we think. We've got it all down to, no, it's not a Christmas story. The greatest thing you can do as a mom and as a dad is to see that your children are saved. Amen.
That's right.
To see that they're born again and they're going to go to heaven when they pass. That's the greatest thing you can give anybody, any gift at all, is the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? When I think of Jesus and Christmas, Jesus is all about, Christmas is all about, I preached a message one time about the what Christmas was. Remember, I preached on tinsel on a Christmas tree and icicles and all the things, you know, that's all Christmas. That's all good. All right, Christmas is not about cocoa, and it's not about fudge, and Christmas ain't about all these things. Christmas is about Jesus. But what is Jesus about? Is Jesus about just having a day that we come worship him? Do you think that Jesus sits on the throne in heaven and says, well, it's almost Sunday, they'll all be coming to worship me today? No. Now, he's more than that. He's more than that. He's not a genie that we rub a lamp and get the things we want and things. Let me tell you what Jesus is all about right quick. And so we'll make sure we know about the Jesus of the Bible, huh? Jesus is all about saving you. That's the first and foremost thing. Jesus is all about saving you. Because if you're not saved, you need saved. You need him in your life. He's all about saving you this morning. That's what he's all about, changing your life. The life you have without Christ is not worth living.
That's right.
I don't care if you're a millionaire. The life you have without Christ is not worth living. Jesus is all about saving you, and Jesus is all about changing you into the life that's going to be best for you. Huh? That's what Jesus is all about. Jesus is all about a brand new beginning. I'm looking at this congregation. I think I know all of them. Maybe one or two. I don't know you really well. But can I tell you, I don't know anybody here that didn't need a new start.
Right.
I'm looking at a congregation of messed up people.
Right.
And one speaking's messed up.
Yeah.
Huh? And I don't know of anybody that don't wish we could go back and start it all over. If we knew what we knew now and could go back and live her again, and we wouldn't live it a whole lot different.
Amen.
Would we not? We wouldn't make the same. If we make the same mistakes again, several years ago I was preaching at the jailhouse, and I asked all them guys in there in the pod, I don't know, about 19 or 20 of them, I said, how many repeat offenders been here before? And they already, I said, y'all dumb as rocks, ain't you? And they all said, yes, we are. You know why? Because they didn't learn anything. Can I tell you, if we went back and lived it over and made the same mistakes again, wouldn't that be foolish? But we don't. How many is glad we can have a brand new start in Jesus Christ? I mean, a brand new one. Huh? Old things passed away. All things become new. Ain't it wonderful? That's what Jesus is about. Jesus is about saving you. Jesus is about changing you. Jesus is all about giving you a brand new start this morning. Jesus is about eternal life. Now, a lot of people still wanting this youth, and they want to take these drugs and make them young and robust and have all this energy. And then these foolish people watch these kids and say, boy, I wish I had their energy. The shape you're in, you don't need their energy. You don't need to be able to move like him, kid. You'll hurt something. Huh? Just stay old and be glad. Huh? Are you hearing me? Think about that. Think about that. But Jesus is all about eternal life. That's what he's about. He's an eternal God talking to an eternal creature that he created. Huh? And he wants to give you eternal life. That's what Jesus is all about. See, we're concerned about worldly things. We're concerned about houses and lands and riches and fame and fortunes and prestige and all. That ain't what he's in. He's not interested in that stuff. He puts up with us and he allows some things, but that's not what's on his mind. What's on the Lord's mind is he's all about saving you. He's all about changing you. He's all about giving you a brand new start. He's all about eternal life this morning. He's all about living in you. See, he didn't just save you and say, I'm a savior. Y'all go ahead. No, he saves. He moves on the inside to live in you. They call his name Emmanuel, meaning God with us. That's wonderful that he's God with us. At Bethlehem, he became God with us. At Calvary, he became God dying for us. But at Pentecost, he became God living in me. And he lives in you if you're saved this morning. That's what Christ is about. That's what Jesus is all about, living in you. Do you know this, Jesus? Does he live in you? Does he live inside of you this morning? Huh? Does he? If your first thought is, well, I'm not sure, then he don't. Are you listening to me? If they was the first shred of doubt When I first said that, come in your mind, then he don't live. If you've got to ask yourself if he does, then he don't. Huh? Are you listening to me? Jesus is all about making you more like him. Hmm? We live in a society where we take advice from ball players, movie stars. You know, I could care less what movie stars has been married 37 times and drink like a fish and done all their drugs. I really don't value their opinion. I'm sorry. Now you might, but I don't. Just because a man can chase a ball and get paid $45 million a year for it, because he can run, and in a few years he's going to be broke down and ain't going to have mind problems from all the concussions, and his knees are going to be wore out, and he's going to have back surgery. But I really am not concerned about his take on miracles of Christmas. Now, if you watched your programs on TV, now we're having Kevin Costner and the beginning of Christmas, and Tom Hanks and the first Christmas, and all these movie stars, boy, and everybody's ooh and on, and that's wonderful. And then they have a part in a movie where they're cussing God and cussing everybody and doing it. We better pay attention. We better listen this morning, because, see, just speaking the name Jesus don't cut it. See, I'm afraid we don't know the Jesus of the Bible. I'm afraid that's the problem. He's just somebody. No, we're letting everybody else dictate. We better come back and remember that he's wanting to make us like him. Listen, I don't want to be in the Guinness Book of World Records like Will Chamberlain on how many sexual acts I've performed. But he's a big sports hero. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? Is that not something that we ought to hang our head about? Because we write in a book how many sexual partners you had? Huh? When it's 10,000 people, is that not foolishness? And this is what the world does. I think we better go back and see who this Jesus is. Is everybody hearing me this morning? Well, let's just see who he is. Well, it says here in verse 11, it says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." That's who Jesus is. He's a Savior. You saved this morning? Look at me this morning. Are you saved? Yeah. When did you get saved? Yeah. When did you get saved? Where were you at? What were you doing? Well, I don't remember. What do you mean you don't remember? You don't remember where you was? Well, I'm sure it happened though. No, if you wasn't, was you not there? Huh? Now you don't have to remember the date. You ain't have to remember what time by the clock, but if you can't go back to the moment that you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you may not know this Savior. Amen. Are you hearing me? You don't have to know. You say, "Well, I'm not even sure of the year." Well, that's fine. That's fine. Huh? I always think it was a man I used to testify at Mount Lookout when I pastored over there, went to church over there, named Billy McClung. And, he didn't remember a revival. He didn't remember a Sunday morning service or Sunday night service. You know what he remembered? Is back up in a breakthrough in a coal mine where he knelt down and received Christ working in a coal mine. He done took as much as he could take. And he called on God to save him in a coal mine. Now I don't remember what shift it was. Don't remember if he got double time or triple time, but he got eternal life. I know that. But do you know this Savior? this Savior we're talking about over in 1 Peter chapter 1. Can we look right quick? 1 Peter chapter 1. Is everybody okay with me this morning? It says, "For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. I'm talking about a Savior. I'm talking about a Savior who come to die in our place, to shed his blood for us this morning. That's a Savior. Think about that. How about Ephesians chapter 1? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 and 8, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Can I tell you that we're talking about a Savior? And his blood, the blood that saves and cleanses a Savior. Have you been washed in the blood? Look at me this morning. Have you been washed in the blood this morning? Amen. Have you trusted Christ? Have you received him this morning? How about Colossians? How about Colossians chapter 1, verse 13-14 said, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness?" Brother Rick asked us this morning, have we been delivered? I ask you today, have you been delivered? Have you been delivered? Do you understand this morning that before he can forgive you of your sins, your sinful acts, he's got to deliver you? As we just talked about this Friday, you've got to be delivered. Do you understand that you're guilty before God and you're in trespasses and sin against a holy God and you're on the wrong road? You're going down in the very depths of hell and he got to deliver you. Can I tell you that that's this wonderful Savior, Jesus, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. I'm talking about a Savior this morning. Do you know this Savior? I'm asking you, do you know this Savior? Now it says here, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ. Christ. He's a Savior, but he's the Christ. You understand? He's the promised one. He's the Messiah of the Old Testament. He's the promised one. From Brother Rick read it this morning, what the Moses wrote there in Genesis. He's a promised seed. All through the Old Testament, he's the promised one. He's the one that will come. He's the one that will redeem. He's the one that will save. Can I tell you, he's here this morning. He's the Christ. He's the Christ, the Son of the living God. Look in Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. I'm asking, do you know this promised one? Do you know this God with us this morning? Do you know him this morning? Matthew chapter 16. Look at verse 16. Verse 15 and 16. He said, he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Can I tell you, he was born the Christ. He didn't become that. Listen, there is mentality today that thinks he was a good man and then he was a martyr and he become a Savior. No, 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 no. Christ was not a martyr. He didn't die for a good cause. Everybody hear me? He wasn't a martyr. He didn't die for a good cause. But he was born a Savior. He was born the Christ, the promised one, to redeem you from your sin. That's who he is. That's who he was born. He was born a Savior. He didn't become one. He was born a Savior. And he's born the Christ. In Mark 8:29, it says the same thing. Peter tells him, said, thou art the Christ. Thou art the Christ. You're the promised one. You're the Messiah. You're the promised one. How about we go back to 1 Peter again? Chapter 3. 1 First Peter chapter 3, verse 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. This Christ, I'm talking about Christ, I'm asking you, do you know the Jesus of this Bible? For that's who we celebrate at Christmas, and it says, unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ. Huh? It's the Christ, the promised one. And then it says something else there in Luke chapter 2. Let's read it. Christ, the Christ. Then what else does it say? He's something else. Christ who? Christ the Lord. Isn't that what it says? Christ the Lord. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now, everybody hollers amen when we holler about him being a Savior. Everybody hollers amen. Yeah, preacher, he's the Christ, the promised one. And we'll accept all that, but we reject Lord. Now, it's going to cut close to the corn. Now, hear me close now. Jesus said, you call me Lord, Lord, but yet you do not the things that I say. We'll accept him as Savior. Woo-hoo! I'm saved. I ain't going to go to hell. Woo-hoo! Right? We'll accept him as Christ. Boy, God's good on his promises. But wait a minute. If he's my Lord, that means I got to obey. And I'm not doing what anybody said. Because I've got my own ways. And I've got my own thoughts. And I want to do it this way. And I think it ought to be this way. And I don't know if that's right or not. And I think it's okay to do this. And I think it's okay to go there. And I think it's all right to say that because everybody makes mistakes. And I think it's all right there. See, I don't know that we know the Jesus of the Bible. You see, we forget that he's Lord. See, here's a mistake. Well, you need to make him Lord. No, you can't make him Lord. He is Lord. He's Lord. If you make him Lord, you're trying to take over in the power and authority. No, you got to submit to his power and authority. He's Lord. You get in line. He don't have to get in line for nothing. See, it quietened it down. It quietened down real quick, didn't it? Woohoo, Savior. Woohoo, promised one. Lord. We tell on ourselves. See, we don't believe that you got to do what he said. Well, that's what grace is for, preacher, because we don't do what he says. That's what grace is for. I just wonder what Bible you're reading. Are we still okay? I'm just trying to get you to see the Jesus of this Bible is not what you say he is and not what you believe he is, I'm afraid. See, he's the main cog. He's the main character. Huh? He's the bull of the woods. Yeah, he's the boss. We're not. We're not. Lord. Lord. Master. Master. Huh? Master. Is he your master? You said you knowed him. Is he your master? In all that you've known and read, do you tell your master what to do? No, you're obedient to your master. You do what he says. Huh? I was watching a great old show. I was watching The Rifleman. I might have been last night or yesterday morning. One day here, the last few days, I was watching The Rifleman. Anybody here know who The Rifleman is? Yeah. Wonderful guy, you know. Fast on that rifle, boy. Yeah. And he had them, the programmer had them two little Japanese guys with him. And one of them was named Toto. The Japanese servant was named Toto. And the little guy beside him was his master. And they sat down, and the rifleman said, "Won't you sit down here and have supper?" And he pulled the seat out for his master, and then he went over and stood like this. He said, "Well, sit down there, Toto." He said, "No, I'm not allowed. It's not proper for me to eat with my master. I am to serve my master." "Oh, do your wants and feelings didn't matter. It was only your master's." I thought that was interesting that the servant wasn't interested in being served. The servant was being interested in serving. See, what we got is we got master syndrome. He's my Lord, long as he'll do what I say. Long as he'll do what I want. Do we got it backwards or not? You tell me. Am I hitting close or not? Well, I'm going to pray and he'll do what I say. Because he said if I ask, he'll do it. That's stupid. When we look at it like that. Huh? He'll do what I ask. He ain't going to do what I tell him. Are we okay? I'm talking about Lord. I'm talking about Master. I'm just talking about that little verse. "So to you born this day in the city, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, Master, Ruler." Who rules down your house? I could ask you a loaded question. Do not raise your hand. How many men rule their house? How many men rule their house? Any of them? Any of you? Huh? I'm going to tell you, if you're a man, you rule your house, you're out of order. Because there can't be one but one authority in a home. The Lord's supposed to be the ruler. Huh? Who rules down your house? We okay? See, I knew it would be, woohoo, Savior. I knew it'd be, woohoo, promised Messiah, woohoo. I knew that. But I knew when we hit Lord, it was going to be, Lord. See, because I don't know that we believe that in the Bible. He's my Savior, long as he saves me the way I want him to. He's my promised one, long as he's my promised one the way I want him to be. Don't work that way. Supreme authority. That's what Lord means. Huh? We still okay? That Lord's his old name, man. Yahweh. Ain't that his old name? Is the Lord Yahweh? Am I right? Brother Butch, you the theologian, you and Brother Rick, ain't the dentist, ain't the Lord Yahweh, ain't that the old name, ain't that God's name, ain't he the Lord? Ain't he always been the Lord? He didn't just become a Lord when he was born. I believe I read the word Lord in the old Bible. Huh? I believe maybe the Lord your God. Huh? Are we still okay? Super authority, superpower. We all right this morning? I'm just trying to find out if we know the Jesus of this Bible. That lady I talked to Thursday, she wanted me to know about Jesus, but he wasn't the one of the Bible. I told her, I said, "You don't believe that he rose from the dead bodily." She said, "Do what?" I said, "You don't believe he rose from the dead bodily." She said, "I'm not understanding." And the one beside her said, "Yeah, he's right. We don't believe that." We still okay? Isaiah 33, verse 22 says, "For the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king, he will save us." Talking about the Lord. How about Psalms 146? We okay this morning? I'm just wondering, do we know who Jesus is? Tristan and him sing a song sometimes. I think we sung it here just the other day. I'm glad I know who Jesus is, but I'm afraid we don't know who Jesus is. Psalms 146 verse 8 says, "The Lord opeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers." Huh? Verse 10 says, "The Lord shall reign forever." Huh? Even thy God. And then 147, one says, "Praise ye the Lord." Huh? Verse 5, 147 verse 5 says, "Great is our Lord." Verse 6 says, "The Lord lifteth up the meek." Verse 7 says, "Sing unto the Lord." Huh? Verse 12 says, "Praise the Lord." Verse 11 says, "The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him." The Lord. We can go on and on and on in the scripture about the Lord. And that's who was born in Bethlehem. It was God is who was born in Bethlehem. It was God. Huh? We're still all right? We rejoice because he's Savior. We thank God for his unspeakable gift, the Christ. But we rebel against the Lord. Romans 10. Romans 10. Huh? Romans 10, let's start at verse 9. Everybody there?
Yes.
"That if thou shalt confess with the mouth the Savior Jesus."
No.
That ain't what y'all's Bible said? Mine don't say it either. "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Christ Jesus."
No.
Don't say that, does it?
No.
But what does it say? "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I'm just wondering, how come we always want to bypass the boss? How come we always want to bypass the authority? How come we always want to bypass the supreme power and authority and master and ruler? Because we don't like to be obedient. And I'm just asking this morning, do you really know? Do you really know the Jesus of the Bible? I'll give you one more. Tristy, you can go on the piano. Acts chapter 2. Verse 21 says, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." I want us to understand some things today. We're caught up in so much modernism and free thinking and new ways. And somewhere we got to get back to where we go, what the scripture says. See, he is the Savior. Woohoo. He is. He is the Christ, the promised one. Woohoo. But he is the Lord. Woohoo. He's in charge. And I believe we miss it. I believe we miss it. I believe there's many that want saved on their terms. I believe there's many that want saved in their sin, not out of them. I believe there's many that want saved in their sin, but they won't want to be saved from their sin. See, a lot of people want to be saved and still live the same life. What they're wanting is like going down to State Farm and buying a fire insurance policy. That's the only thing you're interested in. In case something happens. Give me the cheapest policy you can give me. All right? It's rare that anybody wants all they can get. Have you ever had anybody say, I want all I can get? Yeah. I mean, because it costs too much. It costs too much to have all you can get. Are you hearing me? So we just want a little bit. Just enough. See, it's like we are when we get older. What do we tell our kids when we get older about Christmas? You don't have to get me nothing. I don't need anything. But yet if they get you something, you never give it back. What it is you want to be satisfied. And I'm afraid that's where we're at today in Christianity. We want to be satisfied with what we got. Are you really satisfied with what you have this morning? Can I ask you this? Is the Lord really enough, or are you still searching? You still looking? Have you found in Him all in all? Have you found in Him everything that you need? That you don't need nothing? Can you honestly say, I don't need nothing because I have Him? Or are you still trying to gather? Trying to get? I'm afraid we don't know. I'm not saying everybody. I'm afraid there's many that don't know the Jesus of this Bible. He is born the Savior, Christ the Lord. That's what He is. You can't take part, not all. He's the Savior, Christ the Lord. That's who Jesus is. Father, speak in our hearts, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.